Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by our pastor, Jeff Conway.
Good job, choir. Do you know, you're really doing something quite spectacular today. The series is about reaching out to other people, and I was sitting there just amazed what a beautiful thing that you have done today to prove to people that we're not so full of ourselves as Eagles fans, but that we can wear the colors of the other team proudly and humbly and supportively, and I, you know, you are a beautiful lesson to the entire sanctuary on this day. In fact, you know, this is as green as I could get. I don't have gangrene, but Patty and I have some friends here, and they're from Texas, and they are UT people, so we had fun harassing each other a little bit. But a woman, and she's going to get mad at me right now, but her name is Pam Fife. Would you like to stand up for just 1 second? Go ahead. Stand up. So, she was born in Minnesota. And she is here with a great thrill of her son. Stand up. With a great thrill of her son, Cooper, who's right next to her. Stand up. Who received an NCAA Scholar Athlete Award yesterday down in Philadelphia. They had all the divisions that were there. So, Taylor, just stand up because you're involved in this. He's got his UT thing on there. So, so they came for Cooper, but it turned out that the Vikings caught a ball in the very last moment last Sunday, and they bought some tickets for a game tonight. Can we practice ending relational poverty by showing some love and just giving them a warm welcome clap, right? Look at them. Okay. So see, they're nice people. Now, you can go ahead and sit down. As they were at the event yesterday, I copied off a news article for Vikings fans that are in the Philadelphia area or at the game. That please hide your regalia underneath some kind of item of other clothing. You know, they're UT, they're used to Oklahoma and A&M and all kinds of rivalry stuff. They don't understand this Philadelphia stuff. So pray for them and encourage them to wear Patty's coat to the game, please. Called by God, right? Called by God, compelled by the love of Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we end relational poverty by two things. Inviting everyone to know and experience the love of Jesus. And second, building authentic relationships with one another. As I share that vision statement that we have had before us for about 9 months now, with other pastors, with other church workers, they say, wow, profound, clever. They say all kinds of positive ideas. But let me be Scrooge for a minute. Let me say, bah, humbug. Let me look at that and say, and relational poverty, relationships, God, what? I know God, and I have enough friends, really, to keep me kind of focused. But I'll stand up here in front of you if you've heard anyone or you feel that way in any sense. I don't know anyone who knows God well enough that they could say that statement that I know God and I don't need to grow. I don't need to go deeper. But I do know people that feel comfortable with the circle of friends they have and say, I feel supported. I don't feel that relational poverty in my life. What we need to realize a vision statement is a vision statement, and that is about going forward and looking forward. This isn't about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about others. And so the emphasis of this vision that we have before us is to move forward and to do things in different ways, because we need to recognize the world is different. We know that there are millions of people that do not know that they are loved by God through Jesus Christ. We know through various studies, we know through the survey of this congregation, that you yourselves want to get to know each other better, but we know that in our world today, that people are lonely. In fact, I was shocked when somebody from the congregation sent me an article, and I saw it on the news later, that Theresa May, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, has formed a new ministry. She has brought on a minister of loneliness. When I first read that, I thought of Harry Potter. You know, because, you know, we don't have ministers here in our government. But so the minister of loneliness, and it's their job to reach out with programs to people who are grieving, to people who are caretakers and have very little contact with anyone else, to people who are dealing with sadness and depression and loneliness in various ways. Their government has come up with a position specifically to reach out to people that are lonely. I think that's brilliant. I think it's lovely. But I also think the church can do a better job. And so that's why we have that challenge that's there before each one of us here in this congregation throughout our church, to participate in going beyond ourselves and ending relational poverty. We're called to bring relationships. We're called to bring Jesus. Our vision statement is ending relational poverty. Our sermon series is on mission every day, and that is all outward focused. And so that is what we're doing this day. God is calling us to know, to love, and to invite. And as we know God and know others, as we are loved by God, love God, and love others, we are called to invite. So take a deep breath. And again, think of a person. I want this person to be in the forefront of your soul and heart this entire time as we turn to Scripture and look at a few thoughts on it. What person do you know in your life who does not know that they are loved by God through Jesus Christ? Who is that person? A relative? Somebody at work? Somebody in your neighborhood? Put that person in your heart. Have that one person there. Do you have them there? Just hold them dearly as we move on and we hear God speaking to us this day. Last week, we focused on building relationships that have trust in them, recognizing that when people hear the word Christian, that means a lot of things. Even to people in the United States, it just means judgmental and harsh and closed-minded to so many. And that's not who we are, but that's how people see us throughout the world. In the history of people that have been labeled Christians that have gone to certain countries, when people in those countries hear the word Christian, they think of something very different than we want them to think. So this day, we're going to focus on moving in those trusting relationships and helping people go past complacency. My truth is okay with me. Your truth is okay for you. Whatever kind of relativism they might have in that complacency, we want to help them move from complacency to curiosity. And the way to do that is to shift the conversation away from religion, away from something even Christianity, to shift that conversation away from those words and shift it to Jesus. Very simply. I don't know how many people I've talked to. Oof. I can't share my faith. I can't do that. Go back to knocking on doors and talking to people that you don't know and asking them if they know where they'll be when they die and all this old school stuff about evangelism. That's long ago and a long ago method. I just want you to be comfortable talking about Jesus in your life. And the way we become more comfortable talking about Jesus is to know Jesus through prayer, through the work of God's Spirit, and certainly by turning to God's Word. So hear this account of Jesus in John chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. And I told the tech folks, go ahead, don't put it up on the screen. I'm going to interrupt myself in the middle of reading this long passage anyway. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. But he had to go through Samaria. Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well, and it was about noon. Jesus, tired. You know, sometimes we just turn him into a superhero, right? Flying with his cape and doing all kinds of miracles and things. What do we learn about Jesus here? He'd been walking with the disciples. He was tired. He just wanted to sit down. He just wanted a drink of water. No different than you and me in that sense. So we read on. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me for a drink, a woman of Samaria?" Now, we need to remember the division that was there. The Samaritans worshipped on Mount Gerizim, not in Jerusalem. There was a division there, and that division was strong. There are a lot of cultural barriers that are being crossed at this moment. Jesus, a man, speaking to a woman alone, a cultural barrier crossed. Jesus, a Jew, speaking to a Samaritan, a cultural barrier that was crossed. And she was shocked. And she was at the well. And it was noon. And she was there by herself. She didn't go with the other women who probably typically would have gotten their water from the well in the morning. We can imagine. She was probably lonely. So we read on. Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flock drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water. Give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming to draw water at this well." She doesn't understand fully what she's saying here. But we can understand what it's like for her going alone to that well every day. Jesus said to her, "Go. Go call your husband and come back." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you say that the place that people must worship is Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks out these who worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in the spirit of truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming. He is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he. I am the one who is speaking to you. I am the Messiah." Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking to a woman. But what do you want, or why are you speaking to her? Then the woman left her jar, and she went back to the city. And she said to the people, "Come and see this man who told me everything I have done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left. They left the city, and they were on their way to him. And later on in verse 39, it says, "And many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that he is truly the Savior of the world." Jesus, not religion, not names, not statements, just Jesus. That's what we're invited to do. That's what we're challenged to do. Helping people move from complacency to curiosity by showing Jesus in our own lives. Three quick challenges. We need to bring people to awareness. We need to bring people to engagement. And we need to bring people to exchange. We bring people to awareness of Jesus. I have a friend that I have reacquainted myself with, and it is wonderful. We got together for our 40th Pledge Class reunion last year in Oregon, and it was great to meet with him and be with him again. You know, I was not the most calm person my first year and a half or so in college, but by my junior year, I started a Bible study in my fraternity. And I invited Gil to come and be a part of that Bible study. And he said, "You know what? That God and religion stuff, I know that's going to be important to me when I'm old. But it's just not important to me right now." When we got together, and then after he read through the blog on the Camino and various communications that we've had through texting and phone calls, he says, "You know, I live my life vicariously through you now, Jeff." And I tell him, "Don't do that. Don't do that." You know, he's excited because I talk about what Jesus is doing in my life. He's aware what Jesus is doing in my life. I say, don't live that through me. Live that yourself and celebrate that gift that is there for you. For no longer is about religion in discussions with us. The conversation goes to Jesus. He asks why I help. Well, Jesus, help me. Why do I listen? I talk about the way that Jesus listens to me. Why do I go out of my way to do something? I share it's because Jesus went out of his way to do something for me. I want to make sure that he is aware of Jesus. We can do that in ways that are not scary at all. It's one of the most clever things that Jesus does, and in fact, our Lenten sermon series is about questions that God asks us. But we can do that same thing with our family, our coworker, our friend, who's ever in our heart, and those other people that we come in contact with. Just ask a question when you're sitting down. Maybe not the person in front of you at McDonald's, who you don't know at all, but people that you are in relationship with, that you've built some trust with. Where are you with this God thing? What do you think about all this God talk? Why do you think that surveys are out there that say that people are more spiritually curious now than they were 5 years ago? Simple open questions. Have you ever had an experience that felt spiritual to you? What was that? Open up those questions to them so that you're not preaching. You don't have to worry about preaching. If somebody talks and answers any one of those questions, you can respond about Jesus in your life and help make that awareness apparent for them in those questions. Bring people to an awareness of Jesus. And secondly, bring people to engagement. Bring people beyond just awareness, but to a place of engagement where they really want to start to listen more. Malcolm Muggeridge, 20th century author, writer, journalist, British TV personality. In this day and age when we hear this much about it, terrible womanizer who hurt his wife regularly. Agnostic, Malcolm Muggeridge, met his match in 1968. He traveled the world interviewing people, and where did he go in 1968? He went to India, and interviewed Mother Teresa. As she was holding a little abandoned newborn baby in her arms and speaking to him, she said, "Look at this. Look at this. This is a miracle. God has brought the spark of life into this child. And in that, Malcolm was challenged to go just beyond awareness, but to engagement. In fact, a year later, when he wrote a book about Mother Teresa, Something Beautiful for God, and confessed his own faith, all of Great Britain was shocked that this cynical man came to recognize that he was loved by God. He was brought into a trusting relationship. He was moved from complacency to curiosity, and from that place moved to faith, because people wanted to bring him to an awareness of Jesus. People wanted to engage him with Jesus. And our last thought today, and the challenge for each one of us, who's that person in your heart again? What's that name? To bring that person to engagement, an exchange. Bring that person to exchange. This is the intense form of curiosity that means being so curious that you want to exchange ideas, ask questions, and offer opinions. This is that opportunity to bring somebody along on an adventure with Jesus, to just begin that. I love what happened at the Paoli Blues Fest. All the people that were here. But I love all the people that signed up. There were just 10, but I love that. 10 folks, because this is right after the hurricane in Houston. Those 10 folks who signed up, people that have no connection to our church at all. We know nothing about their understanding of Jesus, but they signed up because they wanted to help. So in an experience like that, where trust has been built, where you can lay out some curiosity, here you can begin to exchange. And this is where it's not scary. Not scary at all. You don't have to know everything about Scripture. You don't have to have everything memorized. You don't have to have some method in your life that works to check off the box because you saved another soul. What you need to be concerned about is bringing Jesus into people's lives so they move from that complacency, that they know that this is not just religion or a Christianity that they hear about on the television or read about, but your own personal experience of Jesus changing your life and defining your life is the simple thing that you get to share. This morning, the choir did an awesome thing. You know, they're wearing purple, celebrating those Vikings. We had some kids up with their Eagles shirts on during the children's message. Did you see that? I did my best. I don't quite have the right color. This is as green as I can get, but I tried to do that for you. There are going to be a lot of people that are wearing Eagles stuff today. In fact, at rehab all week long, people had Eagles shirts on, celebrating and getting ready for this game. Excitement, enthusiasm, and how simple that is to put a shirt on and celebrate a football team. It's not much harder. It's not much more difficult to bring Jesus into a conversation, into a relationship, to help people move from complacency to curiosity. So bow your heads and silently pray for me, with me, for the people that are in your heart. That person that you are thinking about. Lord, help each in this room feel more empowered and comfortable bringing Jesus into the conversation, helping awareness, engagement, and exchange. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.